Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy.
Today, hallelujah. So the next couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, we're going to be studying the fall feast of the Lord. And I do believe God has orchestrated this time. Now, you guys know, if you've been here at Makers for any length of time, we always talk about these feasts and celebrate them. Sometimes I do online teachings. Sometimes I do things like this. But we always teach about them for a reason. Because how many of you guys know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. Anybody thankful it's football season? Come on. Go Bengals. Please, Lord, let them win today. Amen. Okay. I bragged on Clemson last week and they got beat bad. So in humility, I'm asking the Lord to bless the Bengals. The Bible says everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And listen, just like we know we have seasons of weather, God has specific times and seasons. God has specific times and seasons. And so if you understand this, if you don't know, let me teach today. How many of you guys know that our world operates on a solar calendar? It's called the Gregorian calendar. It's a solar calendar. But did you know God operates on a lunar calendar? It's a Hebraic calendar that we can find. If you say, Pastor, I've never heard anything about this, then take good notes. We'll keep teaching and equip you in Jesus' name. But though our world operates on a solar Gregorian calendar, but God operates on a lunar calendar. And here's what's interesting about this. Both of those calendars have 12 months. Both of those calendars have seasons and times, even holidays and celebrations. How many of you guys know we have holidays and celebrations on the calendar that we use? We have also, but that God also has holidays and celebrations on his calendar. And what's interesting is that God has seven specific celebrations called the Feast of the Lord. God has seven specific celebrations called the Feast of the Lord. And there are seven Feasts of the Lord every year. There's four in the spring and there's three in the fall. Now, we always talk about the ones in the spring because it aligns somewhat with the calendar that we're used to. How many of you guys know that Passover is very close to what some people call Easter? Okay, so we celebrate the Feast of Passover, but here at Makers, we don't just talk about Passover, we also talk about unleavened bread, we also talk about the Feast of First Fruits. Every year we bring a first fruits offering during the Feast of First Fruits. I believe it's biblical to do those things. Why? Because God said so. Come on, somebody, help me out. God said so. And so there are four feasts in the spring, and then we always celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Is anybody thankful for the gift in the person of Holy Spirit? We absolutely observe and celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. But just like there's four spring feasts, there's also three feasts that take place in the fall. I feel like these are a little less known to the Western church, but they're just as revelational, and I want to show them to you over the next few weeks. But we have the Feast of Trumpets, we have the Day of Atonement, and then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, before anybody looks at me and says, Pastor, those are Jewish feasts, I'm going to show you in the Word, they have nothing to do with Jewish anything. They're the Lord's feasts. They're kingdom feasts, okay? So please do not let a perspective that doesn't come from God's word affect how we look at these things in our lives. But these three feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Let me show you in God's word where he instructs God's people to begin to observe and celebrate these. All the way back in Leviticus 23, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. How many of you guys know we all need to rest? I don't know if you know this, but can we be practical for a minute? We make our dumbest decisions when we're exhausted. We do some of the dumbest stuff. We could look back and say, boy, I could change that. And you know what? The common denominator is through those things, you were really tired. Our bodies were made to not just work, but to rest. Come on, somebody. A Sabbath is a good thing from the Lord. So a holy convocation, you shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feast of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Now, the word convocation there in the Hebrew is the word mikra, and that means rehearsal or coming events. Because when God first showed these to the people, his people in Leviticus, all of these things had yet to come to pass. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these seven things. Jesus is the fulfillment of all seven of these feasts, and Jesus had not fulfilled them yet. But how many of you guys know Jesus has come to the earth already once? And Jesus is coming again. Come on, somebody. Jesus is coming again. And so I need you to see this as we're learning that these feasts are special and significant because they all were appointed times that prophetically pointed and still point to Jesus. They all prophetically pointed and still point to Jesus. Jesus is at the center of these celebrations. Somebody say the center. Jesus is at the center of these celebrations, just like he is at the center of who we are as children of God. So let me ask you a question. If Jesus is at the center of something, shouldn't we want to be a part of it as well? If Jesus is at the center of something, we should want to be a part of those things as well. And so we see that the Lord instructs his people, these are my feasts to observe and to celebrate. And here we try to do what God instructed here at Makers in Leviticus 23 verse 4. We like to observe and celebrate these feasts at their appointed times. Here's why. Because the more we know, the more we grow. The more we know, everybody say, the more we know, the more we grow. The more we grow. And so insight brings greater understanding and brings greater revelation of who God is and who we are in him. And these feasts, they do those things. Even Paul said this in Philippians 3:10. He said, I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. Listen to me. How many of you guys know our perspective and desire should be the same? We should never say, God, that's as far as I want to go. We should say, Lord, teach me everything so I can fully be full of who you are. So I can be overflowing with knowledge and understanding, God, of who you are and what you're doing in the earth. And so listen to me. I believe that learning about and celebrating these feasts allow us to see the redeeming love of the Father and the resurrection power of Jesus. Because when we talk about them and when we celebrate them, we are celebrating the kingdom of God, all that God is, all that God has done, and what he has promised he will do. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So that's why we like to talk about them. But here's the best part. Here's the best part for those of you that are still learning and listening. Nothing about these feasts are supposed to become legalistic or forced on anybody. Nothing about what we're talking about should become legalistic and forced on anyone. Listen, there are times, these are times of celebration and times of refreshing for the people of God. Times of celebration and times of refreshing for the people of God. So if you're here this morning or you're online watching, by the way, we're glad that you're joining, and you say, Pastor, I want to celebrate these feasts at a greater level. Wonderful, do it. If you want to celebrate them at a greater level than what we talk about, awesome, go do it. But some of you may say, Pastor, I don't know if I want to celebrate these at a greater level. That's okay too. And I'm going to show you why. Because the Apostle Paul and the anointing of the Holy Spirit actually talks about this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, where he says, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality to come, and Christ himself is that reality. So why am I saying this? Because some of you need to be set free in your own mind, and here it is. We're not going to condemn other folks for celebrating these more or less. Come on, help me out here. We are not gonna, if somebody, listen, when we talk about the Feast of Tabernacles and somebody wants to build a sukkah at their home with their family because of the significance that we'll talk about, listen, that's their choice. Don't condemn them and say they're weird. And if you say, I don't want to celebrate these at all, that's your choice, but no one's going to condemn you for saying that you don't want to do it. So how about this? These feasts were never meant to divide the people of God. They were supposed to refresh the people of God together. So as we study these, listen to me, Makers Church. Let's just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will tell you, I did not know a lot about these when I even came here 7 years ago. But over the last 7 years, how many of you guys know over 7 years, y'all ought to grow a little bit? And if you don't, something's wrong. I've learned a lot. I'm still learning about these things. I've learned a lot about the feast of the Lord. I've learned a lot about the fivefold ministry. I've learned a lot about what God is saying and doing in the earth today. And I hate to break it to you, but what God is doing next is not going to look like what he did in the past. It's going to be new and it's going to be different. And we should be okay with that, because as long as God has the steering wheel, it's going to be okay. Can I get a witness from somebody? It's going to be okay. And so as we look at these, I believe these feasts are biblical. I believe these are things that we can learn about and we celebrate, but we all choose to celebrate at the level we choose to celebrate them. So is everybody good? Is everybody now relaxed and ready to talk about them? Good, let's talk about them. Here we go. So let's talk about the fall feast of the Lord, because we're in that season together. And so these fall feasts, they're starting over the next couple weeks, and they all take place in the month. I told you God has a calendar. They all take place in the month of Tishrei. Tishrei is the seventh month on the Lord's calendar. We'll talk about it in just a minute, but as you know, God's year starts in the seventh month, not the first month. God's new year starts in the seventh month on his calendar, not the first month. But here are the fall feasts, and they technically happen at sundown. And so the Feast of Trumpets, September 16th and 17th, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the dates happening. The Feast of Trumpets happens on the 1st of Tishrei and goes to the 2nd of Tishrei. It's a two-day feast. The Day of Atonement happens on the 10th of Tishrei, or September 25th, and the Feast of Tabernacles is the 15th to the 21st of Tishrei. So September 30th to October 6th. Now, let me tell you what's really cool about these fall feasts, something that I have learned and I really appreciate. These feasts were given to us to participate in as a pathway into the glory of God. These feasts were given as a pathway into the glory of God. Listen, it's in a very simple but supernatural way, the fall feasts give us a four-step countdown to bring us into God's presence into a greater way. So I want to show you this morning. Go to that next slide. I want you to see what this four-way thing looks like. The Feast of Trumpets. We're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets today. It is a wake-up call, because it's the first and head of the year. God is trying to get our attention as we step into a new time together. Now, the Days of All is not a feast, but these are 10 days that God orchestrated from the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. And you know what it's about? It's all about just seeking the Lord. How many of you guys know we should always want to seek the Lord? But the Days of All are time for seeking the Lord. And then we see the Day of Atonement. That is a day to be restored, because when we look at that over the next couple of weeks, we'll see how Jesus became the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles, a week to experience his glory. Did you know the Bible prophetically talks about in the book of Zephaniah that we will all gather, even after the second return of Christ, we will all come together, the nations of the world, to tabernacle and celebrate the glory of God? There's powerful things here that you may have never heard. And listen, that's okay. We're going to learn together. Look to your neighbor and say, we're going to learn together. We're going to learn together. And so there's this beautiful just pathway into the glory and the goodness of God. And so I want you to see these, but I want us to go back today, because we're going to spend our time really looking at the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23, and then we're going to read verses 23 through 25. And here's what the Lord said to Moses. He said, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So he specifically gives instructions about the Feast of Trumpets. And so on September 15th at sundown, it's the new year, and it's the Jewish new year. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Has anybody heard that term before, Rosh Hashanah? That's the first day on the Lord's calendar. Now, we'll talk more about this later, but we're stepping into the year on the Lord's calendar, 5784, and there's so much revelation there that I can't wait to just not share about the next couple weeks, but share about when we also get into a new year ourselves in 2024. But we'll step into the year 5784, and listen, we talked about how that the calendar starts in the seventh month, not the first month, but let me tell you a little bit about the month of Tishrei quickly. Tishrei is the seventh month on the Lord's calendar. And what's really cool about the months of God, if you start to study and read behind some of these things, you'll find that every one of God's months has a theme. And it's not just April showers bring May's flowers. It's a little deeper than that. It's not just September brings pumpkin spice lattes. It's deeper. Come on, help me, help me. It's a little deeper than those things. But what I want you to see is that in the month of Tishrei, the beginning of the year, it's a month that ushers in a new year. And listen, the Spirit of God is just moving back and forth in the earth and his people, seeking to renew and remake and refill and reform our spirits by rearranging and altering anything that may be out of divine alignment. And we're going to talk about that more specifically with the days of all next week. But can I say something? How many of you guys know sometimes we can get out of alignment? Just like we go to a chiropractor. Why do we go to a chiropractor? If you don't believe in chiropractors, chill out. Have a pumpkin spice latte. Relax for a minute. Why do we go to a chiropractor? Because something gets out of alignment. So why would we not invite the Holy Spirit to say, if there's anything that I'm out of alignment with your voice or your will or what you're doing, God, put me back into alignment. Put me back into alignment. And so this is a time that God desires to do those things. Now let me say this, Pastor, does God desire to do that thing throughout every day of the year? Absolutely. But this is time that he sets aside. Why would we not just invite the Lord to do whatever he wants to do in our lives? Invite him to say, God, if there's anything out of alignment, put it in alignment. And so I want to tell you, because this month is special to God, I believe this is a time in the earth, in these seasons on the Lord's calendar, where we should have great expectation. How many of you guys believe if we live in the kingdom, we should have great expectation? We should have great expectation. God desires for us to not just hope for, but to expect to witness and experience exceedingly abundantly above that that we could ask or think. How many of you guys believe in this season, as we finish up 2023, step into this new year in the Lord's calendar, we should just raise our faith a little bit more. We should have greater expectation. Say, God, thank you that you're not done, but you are just getting started in every part of my life. If you believe that, somebody say amen. And so we can see how these things, they correlate, they invite us into more. And I want to tell you something, because sometimes I think we forget. If God has allowed you to be on the earth during this time, it's because he made you to thrive, to conquer, and shine for his kingdom. You know, Pastor Don, I appreciate your honesty with saying how bad things are in Haiti. But the truth is, you and I know, whether it's us here or it's the Haitians there, God did not put them there and leave them there on accident. But he's anointed them and he's favored them and blessed them to do things that will absolutely shake that nation for the kingdom of God. And the same is for us today. I know things look ridiculous. I know our government looks hilarious. I know that there are so many things taking place right now with our economy, with our lives. All these things look in disarray, but listen to me. God has not left you here, so you just have to endure. God has allowed you to be here in this time in humanity so you can thrive and you can conquer and you can shine for the kingdom of God. God's put you here for those things, but you've got to step into that reality. You got to change your own perspective and say, okay, I see what things are, but I believe God can change them in Jesus' name. That's why it's called faith. Somebody shout faith. And so we see that if God has allowed us to be here, that we should have the right perspective. And so listen to me. I just want you in your heart to declare today, as we step into this time of the fall feast, as we finish this year and step into a new season, that in this room today you say, God, I'm ready for greater. Lord, I thank you that I'm here. I'm ready to continue to move in the right direction for your glory. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Amen. So I want us to look a little bit more at the Feast of Trumpets, because God just shook me to finish this sermon today in a very challenging way. But I told you about the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is a wake-up call to get our attention. It is a wake-up call to get our attention as we begin a new year and season on God's calendar. See, God gave a specific commandment during this feast that all his people should listen to the blast of trumpets. All of his people should listen to the blast of trumpets. Why? It's because the blast is a call to awaken. Look to your neighbor and say, wake up. Come on, tell him. Wake up. See, in Hebrew, the Feast of Trumpets is called Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is the Hebrew phrase for this. And Yom Teruah literally means the day of the awakening blast, the day of the awakening blast. It is a wake-up call. This feast is a wake-up call to get our attention as we begin a new year on the Lord's calendar. So let's ask this question. How many of you guys know spiritually there are times we need a wake-up call? Spiritually, there are times. Physically, there are times we need a wake-up call. I didn't need one the other morning when Maddie came and woke me up at 4 a.m. and said, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm sleeping, baby. What are you doing?" And if you do that again, Dad's gonna have a heart attack in the bed. You know, listen, they don't mean it creepy at all, but when they walk in the dark and they're just staring at you when you wake up, that's the stuff nightmares are made of. Come on. Woo! Oh, that'll test your faith right there. Listen, 2 hours later when I was still awake, I didn't need a wake-up call, but I did need coffee. Come on. It was an early morning on that day, an early morning. But listen, when we do need a wake-up call physically, when we do need a wake-up call, guess what? Most of the time it sounds like a sound on a telephone or a cell phone, and I hate that sound so much. Every time I hear it at any point during the day, I just cringe a little bit because I hate that sound. Or used to be old school, we'd get a ring of a phone in a hotel room. But can I tell you, God doesn't use a cell phone or a phone in the hotel room. God uses a trumpet. God uses a trumpet. God uses a trumpet as a wake-up call. God designed this time for the sound of the trumpet to awaken our spirit as we begin a new time with him. You see, the day, the Feast of Trumpets, was a day to be commemorated by a loud blast on the trumpets. And blowing the trumpet in Jerusalem was not an unusual thing. Here's how. The trumpets were to be blown on the first of every month. So the first of every month, there were trumpets that were blown in Jerusalem. Trumpets that were blown in Jerusalem, okay? God also told his people to blow the trumpets when they moved the tribe. Sometimes he'd say blow the trumpets if there was a warning of danger. They would blow the trumpets when they would go to war and when they celebrated victory over their enemies. They would also be blown in times of gladness at the festivals and over their peace and burnt offerings. Numbers 10:10 tells us this, church. God said that the trumpets were a reminder of his covenant with them and promised that he would be with him. And so when they would hear the trumpets, they knew there were certain things that they were being blown about. It was giving them information about something. But the blowing of trumpets on the Feast of Trumpets was different because they would blow with long and louder blasts several times during the day, during the Feast of Trumpets. Now see this. This is important. Originally, the trumpets were made of silver, but eventually the ram's horn called the shofar was blown in remembrance of the ram that was sacrificed in place of Isaac in Genesis 22. Do you guys remember when God told Abraham to take Isaac up to the top of the mountain? He said, "You're going to sacrifice him," but the Lord was testing Abraham's faith. And then there was a ram that was caught in the thicket, and he sacrificed that ram. Now, here's what's powerful, because they started to blow shofars. How many of you guys know that that was prophetic because Jesus is called the horn of our salvation? So just like that shofar would be blown in remembrance of God saving Isaac, that ram literally replaced Isaac. Jesus, the Bible talks about specifically in Psalm 18 and in Luke 1, that Jesus is the horn of our salvation. Why? Because Jesus became the lamb sacrificed in our place. Jesus became the lamb sacrificed in our place. And so here's what would happen on the Feast of Trumpets. The priest, during the feast, would blow the shofar 100 times. They would blow the shofar 100 times, 9 times of 11 blasts, and finally one last big blast. That last blast of the trumpet, it was known as the last trump. Remember that phrase for later. It was known as the last trump. Somebody say last trump. It has nothing to do with our former president, so chill out with that too. All right. A lot of tradition taught by our brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, says that God blew one of the ram's horns at Pentecost on Mount Sinai when the tablets of stone were given. And then God would blow the other ram's horn at the coming of the Messiah. So on the day of the Feast of the Trumpets, the people would present a burnt offering in addition to regular monthly and daily burnt offerings, and they were to be given as a special gift to the Lord. So can I just tell you something? I don't think it's an accident that God pricked our heart to bring an unusual gift to bless you with during this time. I believe God did that because that's in accordance to what he does for the people of God together. And so listen, during this season, if you feel God prick your heart to be generous, maybe it's not just here, maybe it's somewhere else. Listen, that's not just you because you had a weird lunch. That's the Holy Spirit getting your attention because of what's happening in the earth for the kingdom of God. And so they would bring these offerings unto the Lord during these times, during these feasts. And so I want to tell you something. Like the other feasts, the fall feasts specifically have a prophetic message of watchfulness and readiness for the return of Jesus. The fall feasts specifically have a prophetic message of the return of Jesus. Can I tell you, I believe that as kingdom citizens, we should always pay particular attention to the Feast of Trumpets. I believe we should always pay attention to the Feast of Trumpets. Here's why, Makers Church. I believe that the church will be raptured during the Feast of Trumpets at some point. I believe that the church will be raptured. How many of you guys know the church is going to get raptured? We don't know when, but it's going. If you don't believe that, let's talk about that too. The rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, those two things are not maybes. Those are definites. They're definite. Now, we don't talk about it a lot because I will tell you, some people have gotten so sucked into watching for those things only that they stopped doing things in the earth for the kingdom of God. And that, listen, that's where we lived most of our lives for most of these charismatic churches in the 90s. We thought every other day we were going to get raptured. Listen, it can happen anytime we want it to, but the reality is this, is until that day happens, let's be fruitful for the kingdom while we're here. Let's be fruitful for the kingdom while we're here. And so I want to show you something, though, because I believe during the Feast of Trumpets, the church is going to be raptured. Now, there's two major reasons why. The first one is 1 Corinthians 15. I told you a couple minutes ago, the last 100th blast during the Feast of Trumpets was called the last trump. It was called the last trump. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last what? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the what? The trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." I don't know about you, but when I read those texts, I still get excited. I still think about how glorious those moments are going to be. And listen, I know there's still work to be done, but anytime God says, "I'm ready," I'm ready. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to be with the Lord. I'm ready to be able to see those things and celebrate, but I want the Lord to make sure that we have done exactly what he has called us to do. And I know some of you, when I say something about the rapture of the church happening during the Feast of Trumpets, some of you say, "Well, Pastor, what about when Jesus says in Matthew 24 that no man or angel knows the day or the hour?" To that, I'll say this. The Feast of Trumpets is a two-day feast. It's a two-day feast, which means that if the church is raptured during that feast, no one will know the exact day or hour. Because it's 2 days. So, Pastor, are you 100% right? I don't know. It sounds good. I think it's good from what I've seen. But can I tell you, just like I told you about the feast, if you disagree, don't leave the family over it. Come on, help me out. So these are these moments sometimes like, "Well, I don't like what he said, so I'm going to go find me another church that I can do." Listen, relax for a minute. Have a pumpkin spice latte and chill out. But I do believe, based on what we can see in God's text, that there's a viable possibility, a great chance, that we could be raptured during the Feast of Trumpets. Remember, Jesus said that we would not know the day or the hour, but listen, he didn't say we wouldn't be able to know the season. He didn't say we wouldn't be able to know the season. Let's talk about that for a minute, because Don, you mentioned it just a second ago, Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And amen to the word on that. So listen to me. We can definitely see the seasons that we're in, Makers Church. We can definitely see the seasons that we're in. And I want to tell you, we do not need to be unaware. We do not need to be unaware or spiritually asleep to the signs of the times that we are in. We do not need to be unaware or spiritually asleep to the times that we are in. The rapture of the church and the return of Christ is more imminent than ever before. And this is where we get to shift for just a minute. This is why it is relevant. Somebody say relevant. This is a relevant reason why the Feast of Trumpets should be important to us, because the Feast of Trumpets is a wake-up call to the people of God. The Feast of Trumpets is a wake-up call to the people of God. And can I tell you in love, some of us still need to wake up. Some of us still need to wake up. We need to wake up and hear what God is saying and see what God is desiring to do in us and through us as the body of Christ in the earth. We need to wake up. Somebody say, wake up. We need to wake up and see the plot of the enemy and how warring in the spirit must be a priority like never before. Can I tell you, I believe even during this time that God is trying to get the saints' attention and say, wake up! Wake up! We've got to be paying attention, Makers Church. Let me give you a Bible. How about Romans chapter 13, verse 11? Romans chapter 13, verse 11. To live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. It is time for us to what? It is time for us to wake up, for our full salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Listen, that last line there, for our full salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The fullness of our salvation is the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. That's the fullness. You say, well, Pastor, how close is it? I don't know, but it's closer than it was 10 years ago. It's closer now than it's ever been before. And so what does the Holy Spirit say to us right here in the book of Romans? Time is running out, and it is time for the bride of Christ to wake up. It is time for us to wake up. Listen to me. It's time for us to wake up completely from the inside out. We've got a gospel to preach. Come on, somebody, and help me just for a minute. We've got a harvest of souls to reap. We have cities to win. We've got nations to disciple. We've got places of societal influence that need the culture of God's kingdom. We've got sons and daughters to raise and send into the world for the kingdom. We've got disciples to make. We've got a difference to make. And we have to remember, it only happens when we wake up and do what God has anointed us to do. And I hate to break it to you because it hurts just a little bit, but the truth is, waking up doesn't just mean coming to church on Sunday. Waking up means every day you wake up on purpose for His purpose. Every day you wake up with the understanding that God has anointed you that day to do something that will advance His kingdom in whatever direction He tells you to do it. It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to shake themselves loose out of all this apathy, all the things of this world, and say, I am fully awakened to the understanding of who God is, who I am in Him, and the assignment He's given me on the earth to complete. It's time for us to wake up. Somebody say, wake up. It's time for the church to wake up. Wake up. No more apathy, no more indifference, no more indecision. Listen to me. No more emotionally driven faith. No more ignorance to the devices of the enemy. Satan is going to continue to try to distract and deceive and divide. That's what he's gonna keep doing. But I've told you before, he will never win, but he will also never stop. He will always try to distract and deceive and divide. And I listen to me, Satan is not trying to keep you from traveling. Satan is not trying to keep you from watching football. Satan is not trying to get you to stop sleeping in. Satan's not trying to stop you from spending money. He's not trying to stop you from expanding your business. He's not trying to stop you from being consumed with the things of the world. But Satan is trying to distract you from reading your Bible. He is trying to distract you from spending time in prayer. He is trying to distract you into thinking that your faith and testimony aren't important enough to share. He's trying to distract you that you don't have time to serve, that you don't have money to tithe, that you don't need to focus daily on God or his kingdom, because he wants you to get focused and say, well, I don't have time to think about eternal things because I've got a life to live on earth. That's what he's trying to do. But listen to me, the word of the Lord, even as we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, is wake up, church. Wake up, saints. There's more for us to do, but we can't do it while we're asleep. We've got to be awakened to what God is saying in the earth. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We've got to be awakened to what God is saying. Listen to me. It's time that we wake up to the gifts that God has placed inside of us. It's time that we wake up to the purpose and destiny that God has designed you for. It's time we wake up to the reality that we have victory in Jesus. It's time that we wake up to the fullness of the life that Jesus died to give each of us. And listen to me, once you wake up, then it's time to get up. Once you wake up, then it's time to get up. Pastor, what do you mean? Ephesians 5. I need somebody to come play me down because I'm getting fired up now. Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 16. This is why the scriptures say, arise, you sleeper. Rise up from your coffin, and the anointed one will shine his light into you. Look right here. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. For we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. It's time to wake up. I love you. God loves you. But it's time the Western church wakes up again. It's got to be more than a mantra on a wall. It's got to be more than something that looks good on a t-shirt. It's got to be etched in our heart that it moves us to a level that everything else pales in comparison. Go back to the beginning of that verse in verse 14. I love the way this verse is crafted. Look at this. This is why the scripture says, arise, you sleeper. Rise up from your coffin. I'm gonna ask a personal question. What is the name of the coffin that Satan keeps you in? What is the name of the coffin that you find yourself that keeps you from doing everything God designed you to do? Jesus didn't die and stay in a coffin. Jesus died and he got back up. And if you're awake, you can't stay in the bed. If you come back to life, you don't stay in the coffin, you get up. I don't know about you, when I wake up in the morning, I can't stay in the bed. I just gotta get up. Sometimes I don't like when I do that, because when I'm on vacation and it's 5:30 and I wake up, I wanna stay in the bed, but I'm awake and it is what it is. What is the name of the coffin that keeps you from getting up to do everything God has called you to do? Is it pride? Is it anger? Is it lust? Is it greed? Is it doubt? Is it comparison and insecurity? What is the name of the coffin that tries to keep you from getting up and walking in what God has anointed you to walk in? Is it shame? What is it? There's so many things that Satan would try to keep us bound and stationary so we couldn't go and make disciples. What is the thing that keeps you down? What is the thing that Satan constantly tries to keep you down in? Listen to me. Is it hurt and offense? Is that the thing that keeps you bound? Is it church hurt? I love you, but listen to me. The church did not hurt you. A person hurt you. So let me go ahead and preach it this way. Don't ever say that you have church hurt when the church didn't hurt you. You've got person hurt. And I got news for you. If you say, I want to go to a church that never hurts anybody, then you're going to go to a church that's by yourself. Because anytime there are people, it gets messy, and sometimes you might accidentally get hurt. But is that the thing that's holding you back? Is that the thing? Listen, is it unbelief? Well, whatever it might be, only you can answer the question. If you find yourself and you're not able to rise up and do what God has called you to do, listen to me. Whatever it is, it's time to wake up and it's time to get up. It's time to wake up and it's time to get up. Listen, conquerors don't stay in coffins. They get up. They get up. They get up. Wake up and get up. You are not bound in Jesus. You are free. You are the sons and daughters of God. Don't you dare stay in a coffin when Jesus said, get up and go do what I've called you to do. Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! We're free in Jesus' name. We've got too much to accomplish. Just sit down and let somebody else do it. Get up! Get up! Trumpets is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Even if you've been sleeping for a minute, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Pastor, how important is it that I wake up? Do you want your kids to go to hell because you won't wake up? Do you want family and friends and coworkers to not hear about the gospel because you stay in a coffin yourself? Wake up. Get up. It's time to go and do what God has called us to do. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Listen, before we pray, throw the rest of that verse on that screen one more time. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Listen, so be very careful how you live. Not being like those with no understanding. But live, somebody say, honorably. Stop gossiping. That's not honor. Stop lying. That's not honor. Stop cheating. That's not honor. Live honorably with true wisdom. Where does true wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. True wisdom comes from the Lord. For we are living evil times. Here's the charge. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for His purposes. It's time to take advantage of every day. Every day, and live on purpose for His purpose. On purpose. His purpose. I want everybody in this room to lift up your hands because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here right now. I believe there's about to be chains broken in Jesus' name. I want you right now to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And if there is any place where you let the enemy keep you in a coffin, this is your moment to say, Holy Spirit, set me free right now. I receive freedom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Conquerors do not stay in coffins. Conquerors do not stay in coffins. Father, search every heart and search every mind. God, regardless of what it could be, God, if it's lust, set them free in Jesus' name. If it's pride or greed, set them free in Jesus' name. If it's anger, if it's fear, if it's doubt, if it's comparison, if it's insecurity, if it's worry or depression or anxiety or infirmity or sickness, Father, whatever it is today, may the people of God wake up and may they get up and get out of that coffin and walk in the life, Jesus, that you died to give us. May there be freedom today in Jesus' name. Freedom today. Come on, that's for somebody right now. Freedom today in Jesus' name. Freedom today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 May we get up, God. May we wake up, God. May we wake up, God.